Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Straight Talk with your host, Ted Santos and Blair Nash. I am Blair Nash. Say hello to Ted Santos, half of the show. Say hello, Ted.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for being part of the show, Ted. How you doing, man?
Oh, man, we are moving in New York. Everything's good. This is they tell me that this is the greatest city in the universe.
Who told you that?
Hey, everyone in New York knows it.
Oh, man. I got a couple states around here and cities that will beg to differ, brother. New York is the best place in the U.S.
No, they don't say the best in the U.S. They say the universe. They do not talk about the country.
Wow.
They say the universe.
Wow.
And if you go to Brooklyn, wow. Brooklyn will say, hey, we're from Brooklyn. This is not New York.
Yeah.
Brooklyn is its own universe.
You know, I would never diss Brooklyn or anything. Brooklyn has a lot of culture and a lot of other things, but I don't know, you know, saying it's the best in the country, I don't know. I mean, But everybody thinks that their city is kind of the tops and everything. So, you know, I definitely understand. I mean, there's people in Ohio, like, Ohio's the greatest place to be. I'm like, it's not a bad place to be. I don't know about the greatest place. So, you know, but like I said, everyone kind of thinks that their place where they live is a little slice of heaven. And, you know, if you believe whether it's Atlanta or Vegas or Florida or, you know, D.C. or whatever you might think it is, you know.
Right.
I mean, I guess it would be arguments for pretty much any of them. So I can understand
Well,
that.
I can tell you, if you grow up in this area, because New York, you have access to so much stuff. When you go somewhere else, you're not in D.C., you're not in Atlanta, you are in, it's not New York. Everything is just not
okay.
New York. The only place that gets the respect of New Yorkers is Chicago.
Okay. I know nobody can not say Chicago is the best place in the world. I'm like, man, listen, with the weather and the violence and everything, I mean, Chicago's fun. I was there a couple years ago. But to put it up there at the top echelon of cities, man, I don't think so. So, you know, but
Chicago has a lot going on for things to do. New York has everything. That's what New Yorkers say. They're the center of the universe because they have so much going on.
Yeah, no doubt, absolutely. I mean, I won't take away from the fact that there's a lot of stuff to do, no question. I was in Chicago in 2017, and yeah, there's a ton of things to do. I think. And I don't want to get too far outside of the conversation that we're having, but I think the thing that people look at is just having stuff to do in your city in and of itself does not make your city the top city of the city. There's other factors, you know, you have to look at. Yeah, you got to look at traffic, you got to look at weather, you got to look at, you know, what's the cost of living, you know, all those things play into what is your school system like. All those things are important, so. Just based off one thing, I mean, I don't know. I mean, but like I said, there's arguments for pretty much done in any city out there. So, you know, whether it's Chicago or what have you. So,
New Yorkers will tell you, yes, we have crazy traffic and we have crime and whatever the other thing that you name it. So what? It's expensive. You know you're going to come into an expensive state. But I guess they look at it as an overall package, in the face of all that, so what? This is a great place. It's international. You're walking down the street, I'm telling you, you hear all kinds of languages walking down the street. It's extremely international. You have food from all over the world. So... There's a lot going on.
Absolutely. That's the one thing I will say, you know, when I haven't been in New York in close to about 10 years now, but that's the one thing I will say that was very interesting when I went there is, you know, you would have a guy, he looked just like any other regular, you know, rapper, just regular person, and that person even doesn't even speak English. And you're like, wow, you just walk up on this person and they don't, you know, or their English is choppy and they speak a whole different dialect. So that is the beauty of, you know, of the East Coast, of just kind of, you know, having this melting pot of, you know, languages and cultures and everything else. So, like I said, that
part about it is very, very good. So the other stuff, not so much. You don't want to be on the East Coast or Chicago in the winter. It'll humble you, man.
Hey, you put on a coat and you keep moving. Chicagoans, they put on the mink coat. They just wrap up. They put on a hat. If it's raining out, like in this weather, 60 degrees, hell, New Yorkers don't even use an umbrella, man. It's like you look like a tourist using an umbrella, almost. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but if it's just a little rain, no one uses an umbrella from here. You just walk.
Yeah. I mean, and I'll share this with you real quick. There was a story. I went to Chicago back in, for those of you who are listening in, we were from Chicago. I was back in Chicago coming into either 99 or 2000. Well, I can't remember the year. But there was a snowstorm unlike any other. And I was leaving, and my girlfriend at the time, she was like, have you ever been to Chicago in the winter? I had a little small trench coat thing, and I was, you know, Mr. Fly and everything. She's like, you ever been to Chicago in the winter? I was like, no, I can't be. And I'm from Ohio, though. Can't be too much different. And, man, let me tell you, when I got off that plane, I say it felt like, you know, those little X-Acto knives you used to use in school to kind of like tear stuff off the papers and everything. You had to take letters off. It felt like somebody was slashing my face with one of them things. It was so damn cold. I couldn't believe it. It was just, I mean, it just took every bit of cool out of me. I was like, why is it so cold here, man? It's crazy. And yeah, there was, I mean, everything was shut down, and that wind coming up off, you know, off the lake. Oh, it was just terrible. So yeah, it was absolutely awful. But you know, like I said, Chicago's a great city. I've been back there many times since then. You know, the funny thing about it is, you go there in the summer, and like for the taste of Chicago, my God, it'll be so freaking hot there. So I mean, Chicago is one of the cities that has kind of the, you know, the pendulum swings of the.
Right.
Oh my God, I mean, it was just unbearable hot. So. But, you know, like I said, wonderful city. I got a lot of wonderful friends there and everything. So, you know, it, you know, just was a great time. So, all right, so let's get into it and everything. Let's get into our show. First of all, let me shout out the call-in number. It's 323-642-1387, 323-642-1387. So the topic of today's show is, why is polygamy becoming popular in the U.S.? So when I kind of thought about the whole, you know, the whole concept and title of this show, it was because it's becoming something that's kind of trending lately. It's become a very popular topic, you know, that, as you know, people know. For those who don't know, I do a lot of stuff on social media. I have a lot of discussion groups, et cetera. And it seems to be something that is becoming not only something that people talk about, but I think slowly becoming more accepted. I was having a conversation in a chat room, and I was talking to a group of young ladies, and we were talking about polygamy. Of course, most of them shot it down, like, oh, you know, all it is just men want to just have more than one woman. They just, you know, agree as men, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that is part of it, no question. I'm not gonna, you know, push that aside. But the thing that was surprising to me was the amount of women who were open to the idea of a polygamous relationship. They were, you know, they kind of said to themselves, you know,
hey,
Blair,
you're muffled. Yeah.
No, I haven't done a single thing. Can you hear me better now?
Interesting. Yes.
Okay. And they were just, you know, they were saying they were open to a possibility of a polygamous relationship. And I explained to them, I said, you do realize that's, you know, one man, two women, or more women, possibly. And they said, yeah, if done in the proper way, if done in the right context, they would be open to it. And so I just really kind of found that fascinating, because the belief and dogma of most women has always been, I don't do
you know, sharing. I want my own man. I don't want to any even possibly entertain the notion of looking at, you know, someone else, you know, having dibs on my man and everything. So I wanted to just kind of, you know, talk about the subject, you know, kind of give some, you know, shed some light on it, give people kind of an understanding of it, and also kind of speak about the definition of what polygamy is, because we think it's something that just came about in the past 5-10 years, where if you know anything about your history, it traces back to African culture and African customs. So we're just gonna unravel it. So again, the call number is 323-642-1387. Before we take a call, do you wanna chime in anything, Ted?
It's more, well, when you look from a global perspective, it's more widely practiced than most people realize. But and if you look at the U.S., it's, while it's illegal, you have places like Utah where the Mormons, they call them the Latter-day Christians, they practice polygamy. But I think they are unable to acquire a marriage license for the second wife. So polygamy is a bad word in the United States, and if you really start to get into it and understand it, there are some economical advantages to polygamy that people take advantage of, and it's not really about the sex. It just really isn't about the sex. It's, you know, we talk about a relationship being team. A lot of these polygamous unions are very much about team, very much.
Right.
So and we should talk about this, because when you have that kind of relationship, communication, you've got not just the man, everyone involved really has to be a very good communicator.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the level of sophistication required to engage in that, especially in the U.S., you know, I hear stories in Ethiopia or some of the other countries in that area where you hear about it's not always as smooth as people want, but the women, they're part of it, but there can be a little jealousy and envy. That can happen.
Absolutely. Let's jump into our calls. We've got a number of calls waiting already. Again, the call-in number is 323-642-1387. To the folks who are already on hold, if you could just be patient, I promise you I'm going to get to you. So hold on just a moment. First, we're going to go to area code 415. 415, you're live and on the air.
Hello, Teddy and Blair. It's so good to hear your on Sunday. I look forward to this show every week. And yes, both the term polygamy or polygamous and polyamorous, I'm not sure if you're drawing a distinction, but by having like a team or group effort to you know, foster a love life that's good for the group or good for the time, I think is a systematic approach that's happening on a global scale. And it's just, I think the difference is culturally is how it's labeled or how it's like legally sanctioned or, and in the U.S., it's not something that's fully embraced, and it definitely is a trend that's growing, and I think will become more acceptable as a result of shows like this. And so I look forward to hearing what other callers have to say and how you guys are going to define, define it for the viewers. Yeah, like what does it mean?
I'm sorry. I don't know if I missed your name. Could you give me your name and where you're calling from, please?
Oh, this is Janelle from San Francisco. So
Janelle
whether polygamy, yeah, polygamy, like polyamorous or polygamous relationships, whether there's any distinction. And but at the core, it's really, you know, two or three or more people coming together in an independent way or as a group. There's lots of ways to go about it, but in general, I agree that it's becoming it's a growing trend. Until, let's say, a couple settles into marriage and decides, I don't even want to define, because marriages are also based on, you know, polyamorous concepts. But in general,
what do you mean by that? Marriages are based on a polyamorous concept.
Well, a marriage is a relationship, and so without pigeonholing the type of relationship we're discussing as the premise, I'd like to just say that, yeah, without defining the type of relationship, whether it's married couple or committed couple living together or sharing assets or children, just the fact that they're deciding to work together and sex is one of many facets of their relationship, and that they're coming together as a team, potentially bringing in three or more another person to, or several people. I mean, so I actually haven't figured this out entirely myself, so I feel like I'm rambling, but I just want to say that, yeah, there's lots of ways to go about it. I'd like to hear about, like, other people's views on, you know, what would, in their minds, be a healthy polyamorous relationship, and how you build one and sustain one, and then if you grow out of it, you know, what that means. So, yeah, so I'm kind of a spectator in this conversation.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you very much for calling in, and thank you for continuing to listen to the show. So just hang on the line, because we actually want to come back to you. Let me get to my next caller. We have a caller calling
in
from Blair,
Harry Cole. Polyamorous is not – so you can have a man and woman in a relationship. Polyamorous is – can be like poly anything. So let's say you can have a man and woman who are married, and polyamorous is where they have multiple lovers. So the man could have a sexual relationship with another woman, and there's an agreement. So it could be a husband and wife, or boyfriend and girlfriend, and the woman could also have other relationships, but there's an agreement. Or you could be a gay couple, two men, or it could be two women. And even in a heterosexual couple, I do know someone where it's a man and woman who are married, and the husband is allowed to one day a week go out and be with other men. So that would still be polyamorous, even though he's being with men, and he's in a heterosexual marriage. So that's polyamorous. Poly just, and I know it wasn't mentioned, polyandry is when you have one woman and multiple husbands. And there are a couple of places where that's practiced, in the mountains of the Himalayas is one. And polygamy is where you have one man and two or more wives. And in some places they are counted as legal wives. They have marriage certificates. In other places, the second and third wife doesn't, like some of the Islamic countries, you can only have up to four, but there's an economics behind it. So even in the Islamic countries or African countries where it's allowed, not every man participates because he doesn't have the economics to support more than one wife. So polygamy is one man and multiple women, and yep, so that's it.
One of the reasons, and I'm gonna jump to the call here in just a moment. One of the reasons that I was told, I actually reached out to a couple of people who either have been or were in polygamous relationships, and although they were you know, not ready to kind of come and, you know, face the backlash and, you know, be bombarded with questions or anything. One of the things that I did hear from them was that part of the reason of getting into the polygamous relationship had zero to do with all the, you know, oh, I can have sex with multiple women or whatever. It had nothing to do with that. Part of it had to do with the fact that when you talk about a polygamous relationship, you're actually reducing the expenses that you would normally have from a household. So if you have, and I'm kind of speaking on the low end, if you have a home that's, let's say, they're, you know, the mortgage is like $1,200 a month, if you break that down between three to four people, you're talking about very, very little as far as your expenses each month. And so it's more of a, we're moving as a unit, and we're you know, we're taking whatever excess money, whatever, you know, kind of runoff that we have from our checks and everything, we're putting it into a much larger fund, and we're going to do something with that down the road. In talking with a few other people, and I've spoke with the women on this part, speaking with women who actually have been in polygamous relationships, they said it's not what you think. It's not, you know, people sitting around, you know, you got to remove the whole sex thing away from it. They said, I actually have life insurance on myself. I have all the, you know, health benefits that a typical wife would have. And so, you know, which, you know, and the women that I spoke with, they said if some of these women, and she didn't say black, but she just said if some of the women here in the U.S. could kind of put their egos aside and look at the alternatives and the options and the benefits of it, then they would actually, it might be something that they could look at. So that's that.
Well, there's another benefit when it comes to child care. So if you have two women, keep it simple. One woman is working, you may have a $1,200 mortgage, and maybe one woman is going to school while the man and other man and woman are working, and it allows the women to actually advance themselves. So you have a household that's self-sustainable. You have child care built in. You have time to be able to go to school and not feel pressure because the house is taken care of. So, you know, if the man is going to marry more than one woman, he needs to have the economics to support that as well. The women will advance themselves. This is not like some oppressive situation. That's why I said the level of communication has to be very sophisticated in looking at how household chores are divided up. Child care, education, work, bills, all that stuff, you know, even sex, you know, how is sex going to be handled? So,
right. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me skip to my next caller. We got area code 347. 347, you're live and on the air. 347.
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Smith. Mr. Santos, good evening.
Hello,
Tina Marie, how are you?
Hey, hi, Tina Marie,
okay.
How are you?
Tina Marie.
And where are you calling from, Tina Marie?
I am actually in Atlanta.
Atlanta?
Okay.
Was there last year. Awesome.
Yep.
Did you have a question or comment?
I just think it's going to be a wonderful show, and I will have questions later into the show. But thank you for bringing awareness. I just have a comment. Thank you for bringing awareness on these subjects and having people be able to speak about them.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Tina Marie,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Blair. Blair, go ahead.
I was just going to say one of the things that I, you know, we set out to do, and thank you again for listening in, Tina Marie. One of the things that we set out to do when we started the show was we were going to tackle topics that were hard to talk about. You know, when I post stuff or when I tell people, like, hey, this is what the show is going to be about, and they're like, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. You know, whether or not I agree with anything, whether or not I disagree with it, that's what the subject is going to be about for that week. So, again, I just want to say thank you for continuing to listen in, and hope you enjoy the show and many more to come. So go ahead, Ted.
Yes,
sir. Sure. Tina Marie, I was going to say to you that polyandry is is one woman and multiple men. And one of the places in the Himalayas, they do it. It really is for economical reasons, because when parents marry off one of their sons, they have to give a plot of land to the family,
yes,
the dowry.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have,
yes,
five sons and they give a plot of land to each son, they will, the economics of their family's survival will diminish, like maybe down to nothing, and they'll die. So instead of them giving a plot of land to each son, they just marry all their sons to one woman. So they only have to give one plot, one piece of land to the family.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's really economic. It really is, you know, and it has its challenges, but, you know, like all. But the men divide up, and it's interesting, and this is not what our show is about, but it's interesting, the men divide up responsibilities, and when the woman gets pregnant, it's the oldest son is really in charge of everything, over even the other brothers, and it's really considered his son if the woman gets pregnant. Because if she gets pregnant, these people live up in the mountains, you know, dirt roads, so I don't think they have all the same health care facilities that we have here, but they're
right,
starting to get like direct TV and stuff. But they have satellite television now. But you may not be sure who the father is, but they all share the responsibility of being a father to the children. So very interesting.
Okay, well, I will research it after the show. I definitely will research.
Okay.
Awesome. Good stuff. Cool. Let's get to our next caller. We got an area code 516. 516, you're live and on the air.
Hi, this is Gabrielle.
Hello, Gabrielle.
So my comment is that, hi there. So my comment is that it sounds like this is good for the very young or the economically disadvantaged or challenged women. Because all the benefits you spoke of were all economically, you know, focused.
Well, what about the women who go to college and have careers? They're actually professional.
I know that, but the way you guys are talking about in terms of the advantages, it sounds like this would be good for a woman that is economically challenged or really needs that kind of, you know, help, not as independent, maybe doesn't have an education yet, because you spoke about that.
Hello?
Right.
Excuse me, Mr. Sanchez or Mr. Nash?
Yes.
This is Tina Marie.
Yes.
Hi, Gabrielle. How are you?
Hey, are you? I'm good.
I don't think it just would be for the woman. I mean, what if the man is economically disadvantaged?
Mm.
How would that be
okay. What if all the men are economically disadvantaged?
I wouldn't make a joke of that. I mean, because, you know, I lived in Washington, D.C. for about 14 years. No, I'm going to say what I saw in Washington amongst the Korean families is they'd have like 14 people living in a, you know, one or two bedroom apartment, and they'd take on whatever jobs, but within a number of years, they owned so much stuff. They may be in the mall, cleaning the mall, and then 2 years later, they had a company, you know, instead of having a job cleaning, they had a company, a contract cleaning all the malls in the D.C. area. But they lived as disadvantaged people all in one place, but they had a plan to build something a lot stronger. So they were a community. So that even if all, what you all were saying, were disadvantaged, and they actually say this is going to be a team effort, I think most people think in terms of polygamy about being orgies and about being sex. But if you're one guy and you have your head together and you have two women who are also ambitious, you could actually make that work. And if you are economically disadvantaged as a team, you could pull that out. But that's like I said, it's very sophisticated communication and a very different mindset if you only look at polygamy in terms of sex and orgies and threesomes, then you might miss the real advantages.
But you can't dismiss the sexual aspect of that type of relationship. You can't dismiss that. You guys talk about monogamy being challenging enough where couples are satisfied, you know, sexually. So you can't just dismiss the sexual aspect of it. And maybe we're going to talk about that later, but that needs to be part of this discussion, I would say.
Hi, this is Janelle. This is Janelle. I just want to chime in quickly and just say that, you know, the focus we're saying, like, economically disadvantaged, I would say, you know, anyone or folks who are who have scant resources, including time. So time is a resource and a commodity. So if you have someone who's working really hard and has a lot of money but just doesn't have the time but still loves, you know, still wants to be in a relationship, they can still build a relationship but postpone the inevitable, let's say, having children or marriage. So I would like to expand the definition of disadvantage to include, like, time disadvantage.
Oh, that's fine. Okay. That's legit. But let me also ask, does this go both ways? Are we talking one woman with 3-4 men as well as one man with...
No, that's polyandry. That's polyandry. That's the difference.
Oh,
I talked about that. Polygamy. Yeah, not polyandry. Mm-hmm. I mean, I covered that a few minutes ago. I don't know if you heard it.
No, I probably didn't. Okay.
What do you do? Like, what do you do if a couple wants to stay together, but the woman cannot conceive for some reason, but the couple still wants to stay together, and you know, they want to use a surrogate, and then the surrogate enters the mix in this poly, you know, amorous or polygamous.
Polygamous.
Right. Yeah, polygamous structure. That, you know, it could be you can build it in however you want and have an exit strategy however you want. But it is tricky because there's a lot of moving parts and bells and whistles, and it seems high maintenance.
Let me ask you, is this meant to be a temporary situation until marriage, or are we talking about this being a forever and ever lifestyle?
Good question.
That's a very good question. I think it's one of those things. I mean, I've known a few people who have been in polygamous relationships. Why they at least on my end, I mean, you know, as I mentioned on the write-up, there's literally tens of thousands of polygamous relationships across the U.S. Why they don't actually why they haven't worked long term, I don't know. I don't know if it's, you know, ego of the woman, or if the man just gets tired of, you know, the upkeep, or whatever the reason might be. That would be a very good question. So, yeah, I don't know.
I would venture to say that the reason why it doesn't work is all the reasons why monogamous relationships don't work, and some, I would venture to say.
Right. Well, monogamous relationships, you know, first of all, I do think that they work, number one, but I think that they are challenging because of a number of different factors. Number one, the way that they're currently structured, when we've talked about this on a number of shows, when you talk about a relationship, very seldom, you know, first of all, there's always pressure, kind of outside pressure from a number of individuals. Like if you're, I'm with a woman, let's call her Kim. And if I'm dating Kim, if I'm dating her a year, people are like, oh, okay, cool, not doing your thing. 2 years, like, okay, all right. 3 years, people are like, okay, so what's going to happen? When y'all? And so I think that there's always this pressure to always push the relationship into a certain direction, as opposed to even asking people, are you even happy? People very seldom ask, you know, a couple, once they've been together, are you happy? Because there's a lot of people who are not happy in marriages and in long-term relationships. So I think that's one of the things, not even talking about the sexual aspect of it, but I think when you are constantly pushing people and saying, well, if you're together a year, that's fine, but if you're together with this person for 5 years, you know, the guy must be dirt. He must be nothing, because why would a person, you know, deal, why would an individual deal with someone that long instead of, like I said before, asking, are you happy? Yeah, if the woman's happy, why do you care? What is the big deal? And so that's where I think relationships fail in that aspect. You know, again, not to mention even the physical and sexual aspect of, you know, people, you know, I think people just get bored. I think they want something different. You know, no matter how great that person might be and how wonderful the sex is, you get bored with it. You know, you can, you know, she can put on different wigs, you can put her different positions, but I think people just get bored. And rather than understanding.
Okay.
No, no, no.
So
you said about monogamous.
As a solution to that on some levels?
I think what – I'm sorry. Who am I speaking with, first of all? I don't
This is Gabrielle.
Remember. Gabrielle.
Gabrielle.
I think thanks, Gabrielle. I think what – I think when you look at polygamy, again, like Ted had mentioned, we automatically immediately run to the sexual aspect of it. And I'll be very frank, and I say I think that a lot of that has to do with the ego of most women. Because if you look at the, you know, what me and Ted are trying to talk about is, let's look at the benefits. Let's look at the community aspect of it. And for women, they're like, nah, let's talk about the fact that it's two women sleeping with one man. And that is such a small part of any relationship. When you talk about any relationship that you have, and you're talking about the sexual aspect of it, you're talking about a half hour to an hour tops out of that day, right? Correct? So when you look at it in that aspect, yes, I can understand it would require you to kind of check your ego at the door, no question.
I was
hoping that
on this show today that we would talk about all of it. Because you can't dismiss it.
Well,
I hear you trying to dismiss but it's something to dismiss.
No. What I'm saying is I'm not saying to dismiss it. I'm saying that is a part of it, and it's not even the largest part of it. That's what I'm trying to help you to understand.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it all, because I want to see what happens when we get to that part.
What was that song? Let's talk about sex, right? So let's talk about sex right now. Gabrielle, I want to ask you a question. This is hypothetical. Let's suppose you were in a polygamous relationship. You were one of two women, and you were not getting the time you need sexually. Like, it just wasn't happening. It was like once a month because the guy was tired between work and two women. Would you say that if you're in it, everything else you're getting, right, the finances, you know, it's economically sound, there's some building there, there's good conversation, you're growing intellectually, emotionally safe, good relationship with the woman, except sexually, you're just not getting served. What are you going to do?
Oh, we're going to communicate. I mean, because I want it all, because I'm trying to give it all. So, you know, so yeah, that's
okay.
A conversation. I don't feel like I need to take any shorts in that area. You know?
All right, so let's now I'm going to take it to a more traditional. Let's say you're just in a monogamous marriage, and your husband says, "I no longer want to have sex." Like, it's not going to matter what you do, how seductive you become. He says, "I love you. I want to be with you. I love who we are together, but I don't want to have sex." What would you do?
Unless it's a medical problem, that's a conversation.
No, it's not.
That may be a new arrangement, a decision. If I'm not where he's at, then we'd have to make a decision together in terms of what are we going to do if I'm not happy. And I don't know what that would be.
Like,
and I've never thought about this before. So, you know, don't delve too deep.
Would you say if sex is not going to be part of the relationship any longer?
It depends. It depends on what the problem is. It depends.
No, he doesn't want to have it. There's no problem.
That's the problem. That is a problem. If I'm not ready,
though? For him, it's not. For him, it's not.
No, it's a problem for us. If it's a problem for me in my relationship, then it's a problem for us. It's a problem.
Tell me why it's a problem.
Why is it a problem?
Right.
Because if that's an important need that I still need or have in my life, then and that's his role, part of his role, that's part of each other's role, then, you know, and that's
right.
not being fulfilled, that's a discussion. That's a problem.
Okay. Now, can you – there are men out there who are in marriages right now where their wives, there's no problem. She just doesn't want to have sex anymore. I've heard religious – and I'm not making this up. The Bible says sex is for procreation. Our children are grown, so we don't need to have sex. And there's so many guys who stay in relationships. They don't leave. Of course, they're not happy, but some may cheat, and there are a lot who just don't. So is it fair to say sex is equally as important for men as it is for women?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good. So because I would say it equally, and maybe it might be even more important for women than men, but I don't know how to assess that, but I'll just say it's equally as important.
find some data.
You want some data? I'm a walking experiment. I'll give
you
some data. You want to hear my data?
Yeah, give us a bedtime story. Tell us some data, man.
Well,
I couldn't resist.
Let me give you some
you
real
know,
data.
I agree, Teddy, that if couples discuss their raw and visceral emotion about sex, that there would probably be fewer divorces. Where if one
right.
party said, "Hey, I love you, but I'm not as attracted to you as I used to be, and I want to, I just want to take a break from our sex life, but I don't want to get a divorce," and then you go to therapy. You don't have to go to therapy. Maybe some couples do, but you have an honest discussion. But, you know, doing this in advance, I mean, a lot of this is just a normal cycle of just attraction, you know, that
well, maybe
people,
they both need to go to the gym.
Yeah, maybe right. Maybe they both need, whatever it is, but taking a break or switching roles or trying something new or bringing in a sex therapist, which is a formal and professional way of having a polygamous relationship. They're sex therapists, and that's their function, to have sex, to spice up a relationship. And, well, no, I don't want to say that's their sole role, but there are sex therapists you can hire to play ball in a couple's relationship. And so, yeah, I agree with Teddy that, you know, if these discussions were had, that a lot of marriages probably could be saved if you check your ego at the door and take an honest approach to sex to save the relationship.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, and Blair, maybe we should morph this show off into being sexual therapists. I think that would be a great job. We just do some advertising.
Right.
And do some sexual therapy. We're helping single and married couples, so ladies, you know, just line up, pick a number.
Right.
So
I
want to give Gabrielle some statistics. Why I say women enjoy sex more? Because when a woman climaxes, it lasts about 23 seconds. When a man climaxes, it lasts about 6. That means you ladies are getting about 3 times the duration of pleasure than we get, and you're just using us to get it. But you convince men that we're just using you, and we're only getting a fraction of the pleasure
up.
You get.
Okay. And first of all, sexual pleasure is not just climaxing. So there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on in it that gives pleasure.
Is that right? Sexual pleasure is not climaxing. I'll be sure to tell my girlfriend that one next time. I'm like, it's not all about that.
Open up a whole new world.
Man,
it's not that I didn't have a bad day today. It's just not about that. You've got to move on. Like, we've got to do bigger and better things. It's not about, right? What woman wants
so
to
do that?
So
what are the right? downsides to polygamy, Ted?
So one downside could be if a man isn't, like, physically vibrant and as we just established here, that sex is very important to women. I haven't just had that conversation with you, Gabrielle. I've had it with countless women and I didn't want to string the conversation too long and get sidetracked, but every woman says that she would divorce her husband if he didn't want to have sex, and if it was a boyfriend, she would be out even faster. And guys stick around. Women will leave. Guys will cheat. So sex is really important to women. What I don't understand, and I'm going to get to your question, Gabrielle, what I don't understand is it's almost like women don't want to see men be successful sexually, like we're just using you and you all are actually using us. So what if the guy is having sex with two women? They're both his wives. He loves these women, and they are a team. They are an intimate team who is engaging life in the world together. And so while there are advantages, but one big advantage is if there isn't enough of the man to go around sexually, that could be a problem. If communication, as Janelle was saying, if you don't – In a polygamous relationship, I would think communication has to be more on point than a monogamous relationship.
Exactly.
Because
and I bet you
there's the possibility, well, not just sex, there's a possibility of misunderstanding. And even as Janelle said, time being a commodity, you know, if you're working, you have children, how do you allocate time if you have, let's say, three wives and you adequately allocate time? In the polyandry where it's one woman and multiple husbands, that is one of the problems. Like the men have to wait their turn to have sex with their wife. So that can become a problem in a relationship. So it would be on a man's part to be physically fit some way to be able to accommodate those women, because you don't want to dismiss sex as not being that important. If you ask me, sex is the most important part of a relationship. It is the most intimate communication. It's the most powerful thing people do together. I think we underestimate and have made it dirty. So it is important. Sex, communication, being able to talk, a downside could be finances. So whether you're looking at food or housing, you consolidate costs, like Blair was saying. But you really do want to make sure you have ample space in your home to accommodate three or four adults plus children. And if you don't have the economics for that, that could be kind of cramped and not so happy. And maybe one of the biggest pressures that would be the downside is what Blair was talking about, pressure from outside. Your family, your friends, how could you, you know, and dismissing you and saying, well, maybe as a woman you have low self-esteem, and putting a man down and thinking that he's only doing this for sexual reasons. You know, you ladies beat us up because we have a sex drive. I don't understand that. I just don't.
Right. Let me try to get to another caller. The calling number is 323-642-1387. We are going to go to another area code 646. 646, you're live and on the air.
Oh, I'm just listening. So you can just
listen.
Pass me by.
Okay.
I'm just listening.
Thank
all right,
you.
No problem, no problem.
That's that famous Sam. I can't believe Sam is not engaging us. Wow.
Hey, brother. I'm just listening, brother.
Thank you, thank you,
okay.
Thank you.
I can do that, Ted. Blair,
thank
how
you
are you, brother?
To the show, Sam. I'm doing well, doing good.
Welcome,
for
Sam.
Hello, sister. Don't pull me in.
I just said hello.
Hello, sister. How are you?
Come on in, Sam.
Thank you,
come on
sister.
In.
Oh,
Gabrielle,
Lord.
Come on in.
Gabrielle, I'm a good friend of Ted for over 35 years, and I just want to hear his, you know who I am, sister. There you go. Well, the whole concept of polygamy as a person's individual choice, I truly don't believe that when a man is engaged in polygamous activity, it's all about sex. Every woman has a different need. Every man has a different need for a different woman. So I just find your conversation this time quite interesting. So I'm trying not to engage, so don't make me.
All right. Thank you, Sam, for that. Keep listening, bro. Keep listening.
I am.
Okay. All right.
So,
next caller.
So, Ted, let me ask you, if economic advantages are the only real advantages, is there anything else?
Well,
community. You spoke about community. I guess people can take care of each other's kids. You always got coverage. Go ahead. What else?
Yeah.
What other advantage? Let me ask you this. This is Gabrielle. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, cool. Gabrielle, let me ask you. What other advantage are you looking for? What other advantages are you looking for? This is new to me.
I don't know this, and I'm trying to flush out the good and the bad and be open minded.
So, Blair, let her do it.
I'm going to propose to her after the show. I'm going to make her part of my polygamous household.
You know, I was listening to the lyrics of the song, and the singer's lyric goes, "She makes me hard, but you make me weak." And so there are different stimuli in all relationships that are unique. And so maybe someone has a stronger emotional pull where someone else inspires sexual, and then someone else inspires like spiritual and other things. So ideally you want to get that from one person, but until you find that person, you have to diversify and sometimes take on more than one person.
Okay. All right.
Or you can have a lover and then rely on platonic relationships. But yeah, there is something that distinguishes why a polygamous relationship encompasses sex versus having one lover and then platonic friends to make up for what your lover doesn't provide. So yeah, that dichotomy is
Gabrielle, I'm going to give you two huge benefits. One is intellectual capital. So one person only knows X, right? And you can add to it, and you have X plus one, X plus two. Every day you may learn a little bit more. So if you have three people, if there's one man and two wives, or if there are three wives, that's that much more intellectual capital you have access to. So as a community, you have a greater capacity for learning because it's almost like you have a mastermind group to make plans in life for anything, not just building a legacy, enjoying life, taking trips. Maybe one person speaks one language, another person speaks another language. And you also, the other aspect is a network. So each person is going to have their own network. And having a network, even when there's a monogamous relationship, a great monogamous relationship is sharing your network with one another, giving your spouse access to your network. Even though that still comes back to economics, but it's sharing your network can enrich the relationship, whether it's monogamous or polygamous.
So on the other side of that, you've also got
and network. Go ahead.
On the other side of that, you've also now got more room for disagreement. Okay, and when you say networking, now you're dealing with three or four or five different in-laws. So I mean, there's an other side to all of that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I do.
And if I'm in a monogamous relationship, I still have my network. My network is, you know, your network is your friends. Your network is all around you. So I don't see that as anything special. Plus, but go ahead.
No. I'm not talking about your friends and family. I'm talking about a network. I'm talking about access to the world beyond your friends and family. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Give me an example. Gabrielle, let me ask you this. You mentioned the aspect of the sex thing and everything. I agree with you. The sex thing is part of it. Besides that, what other negative is there in a polygamous relationship?
Well, it depends on if, well, it depends on the people. Are there going to be economic challenges in spite of the fact that there are three people? Is everybody carrying their weight in one way or another? You know, there's a lot more room for disagreement.
We've already discussed that because if you have a community type of situation, everybody's paying their fair share. It's a lot easier if we have a $1,500 house note to pay. It's a lot easier for three or four people to pay that than it is for two. So the idea of it is everybody carrying their weight. That could actually happen in a monogamous relationship. So what other bad things are there other than just the sex?
Disagreements about time, jealousy.
You can have that in a monogamous relationship too. You can have that in a monogamous relationship.
No, but not within the boundaries not within the boundaries of the relationship. When it's just two people, it's totally different from having four, and now you're not getting. You're giving too much time to that one, or you know, it's all of that can come into play quite easily.
But two things I'll say. Number one, equitable time that you spend with someone could happen in a monogamous relationship. Number one. Two, the issue that you one of the things that I, and as Ted mentioned. One of the things that's so important is for you to have communication. So let me give three. Let's say Kim, Stacy, and Cheryl. And I'm seeing all three of them. All three of them are my women. If we come together, if by committee and we say, hey, Tuesday's your day, Wednesday's your day, Thursday's your day. And now if you all of a sudden come in and you're like, I want to see you tonight. It's like, tonight ain't even your night. What are you talking about? But in retrospect, that can happen in a relationship, could it not? You can have a situation. I mean, I've been with people and I've said, hey, this is, you know, what I have. These are my hours, and I can give you this and whatever. And then they want to bump that up, and you're like, man, I got other things I'm trying to do. I can't really have that happen. So asking of more time is something that can happen in a monogamous relationship or could happen in a polygamous relationship. So I hear what you're saying.
It's totally different when you don't have time because you're busy working or you're doing, you know, so it's another thing when you don't have time because you're spending more time with her. And the other problem with this for me is that this doesn't allow any spontaneity. That's real important to me. So that goes away.
Okay.
Now I want a schedule.
I agree with
a calendar. Oof, that
would
never
work. I agree with you. So it takes away the spontaneity, and you don't have your own man 100% to yourself. Is that correct?
It's the scheduling. It's no spontaneity. Nothing. That's just I'm on the clock. If it's Wednesday, I know it's, you know, that's my day. That's my day. And if I miss it. Or if I want
if Wednesday's your day, you damn sure better not miss it because you're going to be looking like, man.
That's exactly right.
Next week.
I don't want to deal with that crap.
Gabrielle, that's the big complaint of women who are with men who are very successful and ambitious. The same thing happens in a monogamous relationship. A lot of times they end in divorce. I know a number of guys who were extraordinarily successful and they were not getting the wife wasn't getting the time she wanted. And there are other cases where the guy was very successful and the wife was like, she impeded his career growth because she said, you can't make that move because I'm raising these kids alone. And yeah, so you get that in a monogamous relationship.
Well, there are a million stories like that in Naked City, Ted. We know that. But, you know, it doesn't happen all the time.
So
if a man wants to make time, if a woman wants to make time, I don't care how successful they are, it can be done. It's communication and just, you know, knowing what your priorities are and valuing your relationship.
Sometimes there's a time period, a finite. It could be 1 year, 2 years, where I know a whole bunch of CEOs where the guy is traveling. It's like, honey, you're going to have to understand. This happens way more than you think, a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Also, it doesn't have to be one-sided. I mean, you can negotiate that, you know, the woman have a boyfriend or a lover on the alternate days, and, you know, the man – not. I would say that's probably a harder sell, but if that's what's important, then you find someone who's down with, you know,
consenting to the woman also having an extracurricular. And, yeah.
So that, who is this speaking? Sorry.
Oh, this is Janelle. So that if you miss your Wednesday, you have, you know, two other men in the Rolodex. But the thing is that this is what's happening when people are dating, that before you enter, let's say, a committed relationship and you date people, that you do line them up until you find someone who shines above the others.
Speak on it.
And so,
Speak on it. Keep going.
And so my question to the ladies, because there's a lot of stalking, cyber stalking, and, you know, maybe a physical and actual stalking, because you're trying to figure out what's going on. Maybe you're calling his credit cards or snooping through his phone when he's in the shower. And so is it better to have the real deal, the honest story of what's going on? And if he says, yes, I have two other lovers, would you rather know, and would you rather have a systematic and honest relationship, or do you want to, like, just be, like, constantly tortured emotionally because you're in the dark?
That's not a polygamous relationship. Yeah. That's a bunch of people who are roommates, they live together, and everybody's doing their own thing, but they have to fit in the name. Yeah, that's something else. Totally something else.
Let me get, hold on just a minute. Let me get to another call real quick. We got our call number is 323-642-1387. We got my city, area code 614. 614, you're live and on the air.
Oh, yes. Okay, I was waiting for you to say all the numbers. So I'm calling in with the
question. I'm not going to give your phone number out to all these people listening, man.
I was about to send you a direct message to your phone, like, no, you didn't. So I was just, like, in shock mode. Okay, so, yes. Hello
well,
to everyone
calling,
on this
where are you
panel.
Calling from? Who's
okay,
calling?
I am Charlene Williams, and I'm calling from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, Charlene.
Hi, everyone. So I find this topic very interesting. Probably about 2 years ago, I had a couple friends of mine who believe in that lifestyle invited me into a group because I never speak on the subject, where I end up stating my opinion in a world of individuals that all believed in that lifestyle, and got it was funny. So the question that I have for these individuals who promote that lifestyle, and generally push the agenda of it being more economic, why can't that same philosophy be obtained, especially with women that, you know, have you know, that are single or that are out there, but you don't have to be married to them. Like, literally, pooling together resources, all of these things can be done and have historically been done in other cultures as well, and it not be multiple marriages. So what is the I never quite understand why
this same concept cannot
be applied. Mm-hmm.
Let me make sure I'm understanding. So you're saying having a polyamorous relationship minus the marriage. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I'm saying why does it even have to be a relationship? As far as what makes it qualifies that as relationship, I guess, really is just the sex part. But if we're looking to pool together resources, if we're looking for one person that can stay at home and be able to watch children, and the other one might be other woman might be business minded, like, all of these things can still be done in a culture without being married and having sex and, like, this world. Oh, I don't know if I'm going anywhere.
That's a good question.
We can still. So that's what I want to know from this You know, people that practice
about
that life.
Having a community, building a community.
Yes.
And that it's what I said earlier. I don't know if you heard it. I said, you know, living in D.C., I watched Korean community grow in Washington, D.C. by doing exactly that. You know, 14 people living in a two-bedroom apartment. And next thing they have, you know, they go from having jobs cleaning the mall to having a company getting the contract cleaning all the malls in the D.C. area. And then they buy up all the wholesale warehouses. I mean, it was incredible to see that happen. And they all did it. There was only one Korean credit union, and that was their community of finance. There was a regional bank called Riggs Bank, which was the biggest regional bank. They could not break the Korean community. No one would do business with them. They all went to the credit union for mortgages, cars, business loans, everything, self-contained. Is that really kind of what you're talking about?
Yes. So I guess my question would be, if they were all in a two-bedroom house, were they all sleeping together? Mm-hmm. Like there was one husband and all of
it? It could be friends and family. Friends,
I mean, if you got a polygamous relationship and y'all only got two bedrooms, something's wrong.
But Ted, that's a different thing what you're talking about. You're talking about
I know, but that's
people
in response
stay and build
to what
businesses.
She's saying. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, but that's not a political relationship we're talking about, right?
No, but what I was saying is with a polygamous relationship, and I'm sorry, from Columbus. What's your name again? I'm sorry. Tell me your
Charlene.
Name.
Charlene.
Charlene. Mm-hmm. See, that's what I was saying in the beginning, Gabrielle, that a polygamous relationship could work like that. Like that Korean community, that would be not just the economics, it would be a community. If you have your self-contained community of one man and two or three wives, but Charlene's saying instead of having sex and marriage, just do that as a community. Like, so I guess, Charlene, if I said, for example, everyone on this phone call would be part of that community, and we would do that. One person would watch the children, someone would have a network, someone would have a business, you know, different businesses, right? Is that what you're saying? And except we wouldn't be having sex. But Gabrielle would leave the community. Gabrielle would leave without sex.
No.
I'm looking at a more realistic situation. If I am living in this house and I have it's me and my husband, but across the street,
right.
I know that there's a female that's across the street that may be a single mother, may have one child. She works one job. Most time you need almost two households, but she has a resource that I need. Maybe she's able to watch my children. I'm okay with us helping her in exchange of resources, but my husband don't have to sleep with her. We don't have to move her in. And there might be another neighbor. So literally we're a community still building this economic wealth that, again, the agenda that I hear often pushed is this economic reason why we need to do this. And I'm just saying economically, couldn't we still obtain that without my husband having to now bring this woman into our home and now she has to be a wife?
Right.
Why can't we just
do it.
Help people? Like, why can't we just help people?
Well,
why do we have to take them on as wives?
Let me kind of throw this in here. I think what we're kind of mixing up is we're talking, when you talk about someone else coming in to a situation in your marriage, that's an open marriage. I think what we're talking about is more of a polygamous type of situation where, you know, it's me and, like I said, let's say Kim, Cheryl, and Stacy, and we basically agree to convene and we have a, you know, whatever, and we have an understanding. We spell out everything. Here's what your, you know, your bills are going to be. Here's what your days are going to be, et cetera, et cetera. That's what we're speaking on, not the marriage aspect of it.
Yeah, it's a committed household. It's one unit. It's one union as one unit. It could be three or four people, and you have children. And to Gabrielle, you asked for an example. So I'll give you a real example of how a husband and wife can share their network. I worked with a guy, consulting firm, and his wife was a soccer mom. She was educated, very attractive, and she was smart. When she took, they had one child, she took him to soccer games, and she would find out from the other wives, what do you do? Or what does your husband do? And when she heard, when she would meet a woman whose husband had a great business, she connected those husbands. And I'm thinking of one, she did it several times, but there was one guy who had this company that was held in New York. The Wall Street Journal was writing about him being a threat to the New York Stock Exchange. And this, the president of my company, his wife, made sure she cooked a delicious dinner. She had them come over. She made the sure the husband talked, but she used all of her social skills to befriend the wife, make sure the husband's met, and her husband closed that deal. It was the largest account. It created huge financial gains for them. But that was a woman who wasn't just being a soccer mom. Most women don't do that. They honestly
but that
don't.
Happened. That can happen in any relationship, or not happen.
Exactly.
And with
so
your
if
example,
you have three people, if you have three people in a marriage, then you have three times the you increase that possibility.
And what would happen, Ted,
in your example,
what would happen when he brought the big executive home and big executive saw he had four or five wives? What would happen there? You think?
He's gonna give me a thumbs up and say you're the man.
Yeah, okay.
I want to be like you when I grow up. But what he would see was he would see an orderly household. He would see respectful. There are so many. See, if it's a big executive, no one is foreign. That you, there's some guy. There's guys who are in Abu Dhabi and they have two wives. One wife is a public wife, and one wife is, you know, the second wife. He doesn't bring her into the public. This is not a foreign thing for people in the U.S., especially big businesses that do business in other countries. So you respect people's households. As long as you bring that executive over and your three wives are not chaotic and arguing with one another and disrespecting the guests, you'll be just fine.
Okay.
Let's skip to another caller. The caller number is 323-642-1387. We have area code, another area code, 646. I don't know if this is the same person or not, but let's try to get them on the line. Bear with me just a moment. 646, you're live and on the air. 646.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Maybe they just want the people listening in. So, wow, very interesting points that have been brought up. You know, Gabrielle, I can't believe it was you that mentioned the whole aspect of it being, you know, the time constraints being kind of a challenge, and that's something I actually did not consider. But that is a very good point. So, yeah,
time is a resource.
Time is a resource.
That could
and,
be a problem.
You know, it for everything, you know, I mean, for people who practice polygamy, I mean, it, you know, it is what it is. You know, I don't, you know, poo-poo it one way or another. What I will say is, you know, you do have to think it out. Just like anything, you have to, you know, if you're considering marriage, it is something you have to think out. It is not a, you know, oh, it feels good. I this is the one. No, you gotta think of all the moving parts and pieces that could actually happen with a marriage. So just as is the case with that, I think in any type of polygamous relationship, you have to look at the pros and cons. And with anything, just like with anything in a relationship, there's going to be pluses and minuses. There are things you're going to get, and for that, and in addition to that, you're going to have to compromise on some things too, which was the point I was getting to earlier in that, you know, it can be a benefit to you if a person can put their ego aside. You know, if you go all the way back to even biblical times, you know, men back then had hundreds of women, hundreds of women. And, you know, that, so that, you know, there's always been precedence for men having multiple women. I said that on another show, that I don't know where people have gotten this idea that all of a sudden men are just, you know, monogamous. I mean, dating all the way back to as far back as you can remember, men have had multiple women. So I think it's just something, you know, it's something that could possibly work. So for those,
yeah, and they used to sacrifice animals, and they used to do a lot of things back in the days that we don't do anymore. There's a lot of things that we don't do anymore than they did historically.
We slaughter animals.
They did.
What are you talking
about? Is this Gabrielle?
Yeah. Yeah, that's me again.
Okay. No problem, sweetheart. Also, back in the day, a woman that was going to be my wife was supposed to be a virgin. Are we gonna talk about things back in
that
the day?
Exactly.
She wasn't considered a virtuous woman. So now
exactly.
I can look at women and say, you're not a virgin, you're not a virtuous woman. Is that how we're going to do it?
That's my point. My point, Blair, is that there's a lot of things that used to be or need to be back in the days that doesn't apply now. So, you know, you're bringing up the history of it, and why should we all have to, you know, be monogamous? But anyway, I wanted to ask.
No. I've always said I'm a traditional relationship person. So I don't want you to put out there that I'm all for the polygamists. Pretty much what we do is you can entertain an idea and notion of something and not actually believe it. That's what we're here. We're here to discuss it. So, you know, I'm not here to, you know, speak one way or another and say it's terrible or it's good or anything. I'm really just kind of creating a platform for people to talk about it. But no.
I just have one question for both of you. That relationship, I don't know what you call it, polyamorous, when you said it's a man or a woman with more than one man? What's
right.
the term, Ted?
Right.
What do you call
polyamorous
it?
Polyamorous is when if a man and woman are in a heterosexual relationship, they are in agreement to allow one another to have a lover outside of their relationship. It may be a threesome and it may not, but they will have, if you and Blair were in a relationship, you would allow one another to have a relationship with someone else. But polyamorous is not limited to just heterosexual. So it could be bisexual.
So is it not the exact opposite of polygamy? Is it not that? Is it not a woman with three or four men?
Right.
Okay.
Polygamy is a commitment. Polygamy is committed, committed marriage. These are people committed to the same household. Polyamorous, it doesn't necessarily have to be committed. Maybe you're with this one person because that's your favorite. That's your favorite flavor.
Okay, so here's my question. There is no word and no concept that covers the same scenario with a woman and three or four or five men in a committed relationship. There's no word for that? Poly something?
Yeah, polyandry. Polyandry. I spoke about that. Polyandry.
Okay, so that
he spoke about. Yeah, he spoke about that at the top of the show. The issue with it is there's not really a precedent for it. You know, there may be some, you know, scenarios where in distinct lands that might possibly happen, but it's not something that, you know, I think men, first of all, they're like, why would I do that? Because, you know, there's such a kind of an overpopulation of women. I think, and I may be wrong by this, but I think the reason that polygamous relationships came about was, I think that especially in African tradition, a lot of the men looked at the women and said, you know, we can actually make this a scenario. Because there's so many women out here who are without a provider, without a protector, we can actually make it a community and bring, you know, let's call her, you know, Iman or whatever. I'm thinking of an African name off the top of my head. We can bring Iman into our situation, and if, you know, whatever our mortgage is or whatever our, you know, bills are, we can bring her into this situation, and we can kind of take care of bills a lot quicker than if it was just you and I. And Gabrielle's point, I think to Gabrielle's point, most people automatically jump to the, well, what about the sex? Is he going to be screwing this other woman? You know, and that, you know, that is, you know, again, you get something, you also compromise something. So it ain't for everybody. I'm not going to sit here and say it is. But I'm saying that I definitely understand where it could work given the communication that happens.
So why do you think you or Ted would not be, could not deal with that type of relationship?
So you want to be in a relationship and you're the one woman and Blair and I are your two men? You want
to
be married
to
both of us? Are you proposing?
That's a concept. Yeah, exactly. So three men and one
woman. Are you proposing that?
No. Don't try to make a joke out of it, Ted. I'm asking a legitimate question.
I'm not.
Why would you guys not go for that type of setup?
Because I'll answer it, Blair. I'll answer it because your vagina couldn't sustain the pressure. It would fall out.
I don't even believe you said that. But okay.
I mean, you asked me why. It would be a lot of pressure.
I was
on
hoping
you.
I was hoping I'd get a serious answer, but I guess not. But the real reason is the ego. You guys said the only way polygamy works is you put your ego on the side. A man could never put his ego on the side to put up with that arrangement. And that's all I have to say for the rest of the night. Thank you very much.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So I'm so sorry. I have one other question, and this is Charlene from Columbus again. So how does it, since we talked about how this has been going on for years, and how does it affect the children? Let's say they're 7 days a week. You have arrangements with, you know, one wife. You may spend 4 days with the other wife. You may spend three. But the children are witnessing this, which also means that their time, you know, gets divided up. How does this affect the children? You know, these adults making decisions that they feel are good for them. Is it fine sound that it's also good for the children?
Very good question. I think, and I'll defer to Ted on this. Maybe you might have some insight on this, Ted. I think, first of all, you have to kind of determine, is it a scenario, when you're talking about a polygamous relationship, is it a scenario where you have everyone in one home? You have a big five-bedroom home and different, you know, you have two or three different women in one home, or are you talking about a polygamous situation where, you know, Keisha has her home, Kim has hers, Monica
right.
has hers,
right.
and you kind of go and visit and everything. So I think that's a very good question, though. What are your thoughts, Ted?
So one of the things is what we said before. You really have to be an effective communicator, and the children are not going to be stupid. So they see what's going on. It seems like we make it negative because part of it is it's thought of as this is going to be some sexual fantasy for the guy. But if the children grow up understanding that they are a part of a community, so if you have three women and one man has fathered children with all three women, they're all the children are related. So that's for one. They're in a community. These are not their cousins. These are all their brothers and sisters. And for two, all the women would play mother. They would all care for all the children. I think it would probably the women who would agree to something like this are probably not going to be selfish in the sense of I don't like those kids. I don't like Kevin over there because his mother is X. You become the environment becomes very inharmonious. So I think it's a very different mindset. So for one, you're starting off with the community. The children are being educated that they're growing up in this. I don't see what the difference would be, and I think you're trying to say there's a difference in growing up in a monogamous home with two parents making decisions for you as opposed to you being taken care of by the community, which is one father and multiple women. What are the differences?
Well,
I would go
back and use the example that you gentlemen used when we were talking about biblical times, how we know polygamy has been around for centuries, and in just looking at evolution, you know, there was a period where it wasn't necessarily as popular, and we all have read, whether it's in the Bible or stories, that these same kings that had multiple wives, there was also bickering in the home, there was also jealousy among the children, which you can find that same scenario, maybe not a polygamous relationship, but where a father has multiple houses with multiple children. They all grow up knowing each other as, this is my brother, this is my sister, but there's still this synergy that happens with the children, of levels of jealousy, whether it is time being divided, you know, psychological. I think, and so I think over time there were things that we learned from this, and even though polygamy might be on the rise right now, for whatever reason that is, which I don't think that it's more to do with economic, but I think it has a lot more to do with women and their values being misplaced right now, so they're settling for certain things. But
wow.
We're missing things that we have learned
wow.
along the way on the effects, how it has affected families psychologically more than what we think.
So have you ever heard of sibling rivalry in a monogamous relationship? Marriage?
Absolutely.
Monogamy. Okay, so that happened, right? So I'm not sure. That's why I'm looking for what's
yeah.
the...
And then, yeah, so if we take, we can use that same scientific fact. So if you have where it's just the same mother, same father, and you have sibling rivalry amongst that,
right.
when you start adding in other dynamics, that's a stimulant when you're doing the testing, where it adds other effects to that. So,
right.
and that's all I'm saying. These are things that are... When we're looking at the pros and we're also looking at the cons, there are some cons that are almost the elephants in the room that are not being discussed.
Well, sibling rivalry happens anyway. One of the things that there's usually about 51 or 52% of the population is women, it's female, and that means 48 or 49% are male. And then we have wars. And you send men off to die in wars, which then makes the numbers even more uneven. So what do you do with these women? So as in old times, right, the woman could just stay with the family forever and never marry. Or some guy who actually had the financial wherewithal to support two or plus wives would do that, so the women don't go off. Alone for the rest of their lives. In some of the Native American cultures here in the U.S., if the husband dies, the brother takes care of his brother's family. He assumes the role of husband. And if he's already married, his wife accepts that.
All right.
So there are a lot of circumstances right. where that happens. Are we about to run out of time, Blair?
Yeah, I was going to say, anyone have any last thoughts? We got about a minute and a half left before the show is up. Anyone have any other comments before we get out of here?
Bravo,
nobody?
Great topic, Janelle.
Thank you.
Yes, very interesting.
Thank you very much for calling
Gabrielle.
In, Janelle. Gabrielle, thank you for
both.
Calling in as well.
Sure. Till next week.
Till next week,
I
absolutely.
Blair, we were almost proposed to, Blair.
Right. You're trying to get up and do it.
Calm down, Ted. You didn't hear that at all.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
There you go, making
yeah.
that stuff again.
hey.
Yeah, we're trying to get shows tonight. Oh, that's what that was about. Yeah, don't try and backtrack. No, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the show. Had a great show. Tune in next week. We'll have another wonderful topic. And for all the listeners, to all the callers, we want to say thank you and keep on checking us out. Ted, you want to get out of here? Have anything to say in about 20 seconds?
Oh, we're going to have something really provocative for you next week and the coming week. So thanks for calling. look forward to hearing from everyone. Have a great evening.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Have a great week, everybody. God bless. Love you all.
Good night. God bless.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.